troubles ahead for mankind. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let us have prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We shall continue with the Olivet Discourse. It is found in the 13th chapter of Mark, where Jesus talks about the future from his vantage point when he was on the earth in the city of Jerusalem. I'm just going to read to you a small section of this prophecy, and then we'll go from there. Mark chapter 13 begins with verse 13 here for our section. Jesus speaking to his disciples, letting them know what they could expect once he leaves the earth. Quote, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not return back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, and pray that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be." Unquote. Now, some of you may say, "I'm not interested in prophecy." Others might say, "I'm not interested in future." The only life, my friend, you and I have left coming our way is what's in the future. Jesus wants us to know about the future, so that we shall be prepared for it. The man who is prepared is better off than the man who is not prepared. The man who knows what's coming is better off than the man who does not know what's ahead of him. So in this chapter called the Olivet Discourse, Jesus gives his disciples a future, beginning from the vantage point of his ministry in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago until the end of time. The world, Jesus is teaching us, is on a timer. There's an end to it. The Lord teaches us that at the end of the world, as we know it, the world will be destroyed, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there is no one in the whole world who can predict the future accurately. Only Jesus can, and Jesus did. And so he shares his prophecies with the church here in the Olivet Discourse, and I say that's wonderful. There are so many times that you and I have heard people say, "Well, I don't know what the world's coming to." Well, if you read the prophecy of Jesus, like in this particular chapter, you know what the world will be coming to. And if you're wise, you will be prepared for what is coming your way. Now, let's get into the text. The first thing that Jesus wants his people to know is that what the future holds is it will be full of deception. He says in verse 5 and 6 of this passage, Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So remember the key words in this passage. The one is deception. Trickery. There's lots of it ahead of us, and there's lots of it now in the Church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have the words wars, famines, earthquakes, troubles. Thirdly, we have the good news that despite all of this going on, the gospel will be preached. It says published amongst all nations. So with all the negatives, my friend, with all the troubles in the world mounting, the gospel will continue to be preached relentlessly. It cannot be stopped. This reminds me of Jesus' parable of the mustard seed, how that mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. But then, my friend, eventually, It becomes the largest of all herbs, so large that it is considered to be a tree. The kingdom of God begins very small. The seed of the kingdom was placed into the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, and now its branches are reaching all over the world. Hallelujah. Nations have risen and fallen, and risen and fallen, but the kingdom of God has grown continually for 2,000 years. It is unstoppable. Everything in the world is stoppable. Everything, except the expanse of the kingdom of God. Now, it also tells us in this end-time prophecy that the preaching of the gospel will have opposition. Christians, it says, will be delivered unto councils, to judges. They will be beaten. But as they are being brought to the judges, the Holy Spirit will give them wisdom to know what to say for the glory of God. In other words, the Lord will be with these persecuted Christians in their times of difficulty. He will never leave them nor forsake them. Even family members will rise up against God's people. So it says, quote, that brother shall betray brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against the parents and shall cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men. Then finally it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So there's no place for lazy Christians in the kingdom of God nor in heaven. But those who keep their eyes on Jesus and keep pressing for the mark of the high calling of God, they will see him face to face. So Jesus, up to now, has two strands running here. The one is from verse 5 to verse 9 in this passage. In that strand, he tells us what's going to happen to the world. And then he has a second strand running from verse 9 to 13 in his Olivet Discourse, and that tells us what will happen to the Christians. Now, we have the beginning of a third strand, and that tells us what will happen to the Jews. It tells us how Jesus' prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem will be fulfilled. You have to remember, this Olivet Discourse was prompted by Jesus' words, "The day will come when there shall not be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now that's in reference to the temple in Jerusalem. I want you to know the temple at that time was the eighth great wonder in the world. It was a center of Jewish life. It was the only place in the whole world where the Jew could go to receive forgiveness of sins. And Jesus here predicts its utter demise. So from verse 14 to 23, which I read to you in the beginning, we have the fulfillment of this prophecy described. It was only 40 years after Jesus made this prophecy concerning the temple that the temple was leveled by the Gentiles, by the Romans. Let me begin by giving you the first verse in reference to this destruction. Jesus says in verse 14, "But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not to, then let them that be in Judah flee to the mountains." I want you to know, when I first read that I wanted to walk around the scriptures, it did not make any sense. I didn't understand it. This scripture is actually almost a literal quotation from the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, where Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus' murder is predicted, and also where the destruction of the temple is predicted. Even the words abomination of desolation are used here in Daniel chapter 9. What does it mean? The abomination of the desolation is a Hebrew expression meaning an abominable, a hateful destroyer. The Gentiles were held in abomination by the Jews. It's brought out also in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. And here it means the whole Roman army, the Gentile Roman army, is coming in, and that is the abomination that will bring desolation to the city of Jerusalem. Let me read from Luke chapter 21 here, where Jesus also predicts the destruction of the temple. He says there, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. That's the abomination to the Jew. Gentiles coming into Jerusalem, coming into the temple, actually setting up their pagan idols in that temple, followed by the leveling of the whole temple. So, what it really says in his Olivet Discourse, Jesus telling his disciples, when you see these Romans, these Gentiles coming in, get out of town. Flee, it says, to the mountains. Jesus, oh, hallelujah, will always make a way of escape for those of his followers who believe. There's a time to stay. There's a time to flee. So this counsel of the Lord Jesus was remembered and followed by the many Christians that were in Jerusalem in 70 AD when the Romans came. So all that believed in Christ, this prophecy, left Jerusalem and fled to Pella and other places beyond the River Jordan, so they all escaped and none perished. Amen. So Jesus ends this section in reference to the destruction of Jerusalem by saying that this is the worst, and scholars confirm that, this is the worst, most horrible event that would ever come upon the Jewish people, even greater than the Holocaust of the Nazis in the last century. And that is confirmed by the great Jewish scholar Josephus Flavius, who described the destruction, the murder, the raping, the tortures that came with his occupation of the Romans upon Jerusalem. He described it in great detail because he was there, and he describes it in his book called The War of the Jews. Over 1.1 million Jews were crucified by the Romans outside the city walls, hung on crosses, hanging there up to 7 to 10 days in the hot sun before they expired. Had they believed Jesus' words and Jesus himself, they would have fled with the Christians beyond Jordan, but they did not believe. My friend, believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in him and his words, you are headed for serious trouble, worse than what those 1.1 million Jews experienced. So Jesus says in his last verse concerning this destruction, "For in those days there shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, neither shall be." So the pinnacle of all affliction of all people in all of history, from the beginning to the end, in any one city or place, was that event that occurred in 70 AD as prophesied by Jesus with pinpoint accuracy. And it was, again, because of the fact that the Jews at that time said no, no to Jesus. Anyone who says no to Jesus will receive like punishment, yea, even worse. And my friend, when that great judgment day will come, all those who have said no to Jesus will be punished in an eternal hell. I encourage you to know this, my friend. Jesus means what he says, and he says what he means. And it is for your and my best interest, my friend, to say yes to Jesus today. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this time together. We pray now that we will really begin to take your word seriously. And if we do, we shall live and live with you forever and ever in your glorious kingdom. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. It comes to you every Sunday at this time over the station. Tune in again next week. Goodbye now. Until then, I'm Pastor Schulze.